Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt. Broken interception.
Touchdown, Giants.
Commune to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Roman Oben. What does that mean? It is Wednesday. Yeah, get it. Own it. It means it is Wednesday. It is hump day. And we're with you for the next hour. Phone lines will be open, 201-939-4513. Also, all things social media. I'll be monitoring social media throughout the show, so hit us up at Giants hashtag Giants chat. Also, you can hit me up directly at Anita Marks, and that's KS. Also, Roman Oben at R_Oben, and talking all things Big Blue. Might get into a little NFL playoff action, teams that are still alive, still trying to compete, and some other news in and around the NFL as well. But let's kick it off, man. 2 weeks in a row, two wins. Tennessee, Washington, this team's got to be feeling really good about themselves right now.
Yeah, they're going streaking, a little two-game winning streak. So I'm happy, and I think obviously, Anita, you know, you can't replace history, right? History's in the books. That seven-game losing streak was awful. I mean, from October 5th to December 5th, they hadn't won a game, and it was a long, long period of time. But they found a way to learn from some of the mistakes, and I think one thing that I was more impressed about in the last game against Washington is how well they play in the second half, because I think a lot of fans kind of held their breath when RG3 comes in there and he actually starts having some success, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, let's not let this guy think it's 2012 and he's the Pro Bowl rookie RG3. And but you know, he made some plays, but then when that pocket started to collapse, and this defense again is doing a great job getting to the quarterback, and it's come from, I mean, Jonathan Hankins got like seven sacks now for the season. I mean, it is phenomenal. JPP had 2.5. He's going to get to double-digit sacks. And but, you know, they're playing a team this week in the Rams that – and look, I played against those Jeff Fisher teams in Tennessee with, you know, Greg Williams, the D coordinator, where they don't tackle, they hit people. And they want to be the bully, you know, on defense. They're undersized, they're fast, they can run. And it's the same formula. They'll have those wide defensive ends and try to collapse everything. But their secondary is undisciplined. But you know, before we get on that, I'm happy the Giants have won the last two, and I'm glad they have an opportunity to you know, at least win a third game in a row. And that's the longest streak they've had this season. Is 3 weeks in a row, starting off 0-2, going their three wins. So all is good in Big Blue thus far.
Yeah, so we're broadcasting live from the facility, as always, while the players are practicing. Just to give you an update, Rashad Jennings, his ankle, he's not practicing today. Retweaked it, and Jamel McClain, his knee, he's not practicing either. Let's talk about Rashad Jennings here for a second, because as we know, you know, the Giants, unfortunately, no longer in the playoff hunt. We know that they will finish third in the division.
Right.
But, you know, the fact that Rashad Jennings is their running back in the backfield, no disrespect to Andre Williams, it's going to be a real nice 1-2 punch next season. But surprised that they're not putting him on IR, just kind of like because he's been dealing with this injury, he retweaked it.
I mean, there's a whole – I mean, there's 22 people on IR as it stands right now. And as you know, James Brewer, Jaquan Williams were added to IR.
Right. Yeah, but you're talking about your – you know, I don't want to use the word franchise, but pretty much you're talking about potentially your starting running back next year. A little surprised that he's not on IR already.
Well, I think if and it's up to Rashad. I mean, and Rashad Jennings is the type of guy that
he doesn't want to go on IR.
He doesn't want to go on IR. No. He thinks he's got 125-yard rushing game left in him,
mm-hmm.
whether it's next week against the Eagles or whatever he can do this week.
He sure does.
But I appreciate that, because this guy is still trying to get on the field and still trying to play while, I mean, and then some teams, I've been on teams in the league where you just put a guy on IR just to get some other guys in. And it never looks good when you end a season on IR, no matter what. But Rashad Jennings, I mean, Anita, what type of season did this team expect if you had a healthy Rashad Jennings? and maybe even if David Wilson didn't have to retire with his neck. And then Andre Williams is like the blue-collar guy that comes in at the end of a game and just pounds out teams when they're already on the ropes. I mean, I played on the team in San Diego. We had LaDainian Tomlinson, Michael Turner, and Darren Sproles in the backfield. And, I mean, there weren't enough balls to go around. And I think when Ben McAdoo came here, I think you expected – you didn't know what was going on with Wilson's neck, obviously, but you expected to say, look, Rashard Jennings is going to be a 1,200-yard back. He's going to maybe even do what DeMarco Murray was doing in Dallas. Andre Williams will learn as he goes. He'll come along. He'll learn how to catch more passes. But, you know, Williams has had some struggles. He had a 100-yarder last week. Didn't do well this past week. A lot of second and longs, a lot of second and 12s. His longest run was of 6 yards. And I remember that Houston game, and when Rashard Jennings is in that backfield, he, as a veteran runner, he knows how to hit the hole. He knows how to feel out that blocking scheme and knows where to hit it. And it's on the offensive line, that running game, but it's on everybody. It's on receivers. It's on tight ends. It's on the fullbacks. It's on, you know, springing those big runs. Talk about, you know, these receivers blocking guys downfield. So, you know, 2014 is almost in the books, but I'm looking forward to 2015 and see what the Giants can do, especially at some of those key positions like running back and offensive line, if you could just keep guys healthy. I mean, there's no magic formula for that, but you have to say there's more optimism next year than there is if you're a few other teams in the league.
So on, what was it, Monday? On Monday, the Giants broadcast department had their Christmas party, so all the sponsors and everybody came out. It was at Lavo in the city. It was a phenomenal event. Great food, great
I had
fun. Yeah, I had fun too. So Roman and I were there.
You had a nice red dress, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Red dress.
You got to wear a red dress on for a Christmas party. Was I the only one wearing? I think I was the only one there wearing a red dress.
Well, everyone, see, we don't have real jobs, so everyone comes from work. And then they just go from work, like,
what
right
mean
to the
we first. Don't have real jobs. What do you
We
mean?
Don't work in a cubicle in an office and, like, I mean, we don't, like, leave the state.
What do you mean we don't? We have real jobs.
Well, we have real,
real
I mean, we
job.
Work. We do stuff. We take notes. But in terms of.
We take notes.
We watch film. I watch film. You're but so it's, like, fun watching film.
No,
I like.
I know. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. They stay work late and then go to a Christmas party.
It's fun. Like, it's fun work. It's fun work what we do. It's fun. Okay. So, anyway, the whole point of my story is. So we're at the Christmas party, and of course, a lot of these sponsors and guests are there, and so they want to talk football with all of us. Me, Dottino, Schmelk, Roman, and so, I mean, how many people pulled you over and was just like, all right, so what's going to happen next year? What do you think's going to happen?
I know. You become the analyst of the Christmas party.
Right, and so everybody's trying to grab you, and they want to talk about the season. They want to talk about next year, and one of the conversations I got into with one of the guests there was, what is this offensive line going to look like next year? And I would hope that the Giants, that they'd go out and get the best left tackle coming out of college. Like the absolute, like the beast. The Jonathan Ogden-like left tackle of the business. Move Beattie to right tackle. You got Schwartz, Richburg, and Pugh. How good of an offensive line do you think that could be in the NFL? How would you rank that?
I don't know about Beattie at right tackle.
You don't?
I don't. I mean, he's an athletic guy and he's got good feet. But at the right tackle spot, you got to be a butt kicker at the point of attack in that running game. I mean, you've got to – the play action passes and all that stuff for the right – I mean, you've got to set the strength of the pocket, and then you got the athletic guys on the weak side.
So would you rather have Beattie stay at left and have them go out and go get, like, a monster right tackle?
Maybe you get a monster right tackle and then move Pugh to left guard, and then nothing else changes. Schwartz, healthy, comes back. Then you've got Richburg next year at center. You know, that makes sense, but I don't know. It's.
I guess what I'm saying here is that, you know, there's enough talent on this team and on this roster, and if, of course, in the draft, more focus on bringing in some more talent, I'm curious, how would you rate this offensive line, everybody healthy, with what you know that's on this roster and what you know is coming out of college that potentially could be on this roster next year?
Well, first of all, with the roster the way it is now, with the injuries, this team could be 3 games better than 5-9 right now. This team could be 8-6 right now, no problem. Fourth quarter, San Francisco, fourth quarter, Dallas, and the Jacksonville abomination. That's 3 games that they should have won. Now, does Prince and Mukamura make a difference? Bees and who? I don't know. So in terms of wholesale changes, I don't support the opinion that there needs to be wholesale changes up front. And you talked about maybe you need one guy, move one guy to the other side or move it inside. So that makes a lot more sense than – oh, I mean, and trust me, around holiday party time, I love it, but I hate it because Unless I'm around people that I really know me, I'm pretty reserved in public. I'm pretty like a quiet, normal dude. I'm not like, hey, you know, I mean, like, unlike Dottino, who's he's got this high energy personality all the time. And I love Paul. He's great. But I'm pretty like reserved. Hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. You know, enjoy yourself. Happy holidays. Like, I don't want to be an Alice at the Christmas party.
Right.
You know, I want to have a beverage of choice, you know, a bottle of water or whatever.
An adult bev.
But, yeah, I mean, but you don't have to make wholesale changes to make this thing go next year. I mean, you look at the teams in the league that have questions at the quarterback position. You know, question, who's our number one receiver? Check. What about this defense? All right, get healthier. What about this? What about that? What about the running back? We got one. I mean, so what, special teams? I mean, a solid punt returner? You had one in camp, Holiday, and he never got off the bicycle in training camp. So, I mean, the moves that need to be made do not need to be wholesale moves. And Tom Coughlin, in the press conference, just alluded to the fact, I mean, there was like a Corey Washington question every week, which is funny because I think they're thinking about me here with our show. He goes, look, if you're the fourth or fifth receiver, you've got to be a stud on special teams. You've got to be able to do everything. Corey Washington knows the offense. He knows the stuff. He's a sharp guy. But if you're the fourth or fifth receiver, you will dress and you will contribute on special teams and then offense as needed. And that's it. That's kind of like a military going through the ranks, corporal, sergeant. You know, you gotta know how to mop the floors. You gotta know how to do everything before you actually cook the meal. So, but I appreciate that philosophy versus let's just throwing guys in there because they need a shot.
Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. You want to get in on the show? Now's the time to do it. Monitoring Twitter as well, so keep those tweets coming. I will share them throughout the show. Let's kick it off with Randy in Virginia on line one. Randy, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Kick it off strong for our callers.
Anita Roman, how y'all doing?
Great.
VA.
Yes, sir. Hey, man. I normally am very efficient when I make my phone calls, but I do have to get on my soapbox because it's been a while. I first want to say that I am a believer in both Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese. I do not think either one of those guys should be moved. I know, especially in the New York market, we're very knee-jerk and impatient. And, you know, when you think about the Cowboys, you know, for years they were knee-jerk and they just couldn't get it right. And, you know, how many times has Jason Garrett, you know, and I'm still not convinced he's a great coach, but how many times did we think that he was going to be gone and they kept him around? How much better of a coach is Tom Coughlin than Jason Garrett? But anyway, you know, I don't see anyone that can replace him. I don't see a contingency plan. You know, I toss back and forth with this, you know, Tom Coughlin thing because, you know, I think a coach can be great, but there could be a point where his message is no longer getting through to the players. It's not translating on the field. Like, you know, you talk to when y'all do all the interviews, you know, all the players, they're saying all the right things, you know. But, you know, if it's not translating, is there a thin line between executing and, you know, maybe how the message is being conveyed? Maybe. I don't know. But the second part is it's been a perfect storm this season as far as everything going down. I mean, you know, I went into the season just, you know, so excited, like just trying to keep it to myself, like, okay, we're going to shock the world. We're going to shock the world because I saw all these transactions we were doing and I was loving it. Then, you know, you got, you know, Chris Knee retiring. Then you got David Wilson, you know, stuff like that you can't account for. You don't think, well, maybe with David Wilson, we may have thought maybe there could have been something. You know, and then I'm just going to transition into, you know, the free agency. And this is going to be my main question for you all. What things do you think we should address in free agency? I definitely hope we can get Jaquan Williams back. I don't know if Ruben Randall's contract's up, but I do feel like he's hit his ceiling. I don't think that there's going to be a point where we can expect too much more out of him. I think with all these injuries, these 22 people that have went on injured reserve, I guess the silver lining in it is that we've had an opportunity to finally get some closure on some of these pending issues. Like James Brewer, I'm not sold on him like at all.
All right, well, let's
Randy,
Adrian Wilson.
finish your point, Randy. Finish your point.
Okay, and Adrian Robinson, I do think that he is something that we could build with as well. I'm just going to stop talking. Thank you for your time.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks, Randy from Virginia. A lot of things were said there, obviously, on Randy's soliloquy.
Well, he prefaced. He said he's going to get on his soapbox.
Yeah, which is fine.
And that, that was a tall soapbox.
Look, I appreciate the support of, Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese, and I said this a few, the worst 2 weeks, I think, in terms of fans were the back-to-back losses of the Monday night game against the Colts, followed by that Seattle Seahawks loss, that 350 yards on the ground, and that's when everyone was saying, everyone must go, fire, and then things started to settle down for a few weeks while they were still losing, and you said, all right, injuries have something to do with it, and then they said, well, we're getting better, but we're not just winning games in the fourth quarter. Then here comes San Francisco, Dallas, then Jacksonville was just, you give up 14 points on offense. It had nothing to do with defense. And Josh Brown misses his only field goal of the – any one of those things don't happen, they win the game. So appreciate the support. But, again, talking about the people that are out there that could coach this team if that happens one day, I just would say you look at teams like the Raiders, Washington, Cleveland. I mean, you're talking 15 head coaches between those three in the last 5 years. And it hasn't worked. And so I think in terms of ownership, top down, you've got to know your organizational philosophy. You got to be confident in it. And I think the Giants are confident in their own philosophy. The other point, Tom Coughlin's message, whether or not it's being reached by the players, and I always quote Tony Dungy by saying, you only have about a 10-year-plus window until you do lose your voice. And he was a much younger guy than Coach Coughlin, but I think Coach – Dungy was more of a – he believed in, like, developing young men, and he wanted to win football games, but that's a different philosophy. But things change, though, during that time. Coaches change. Your defensive coordinators become head guys. Your offensive guys become D coordinators, and some guys go to college. I mean, so those are things that keep you fresh. And if you're able to still reach a message and still put on a good product, then you should still continue to coach.
One thing that has been very evident to me, especially the past few weeks, and that is that, the guys that are on this team, the guys that are in that locker room, want to win for Tom.
Yeah.
You know, the guys here don't want to see Tom go. And so when they lose, they're sad, not only because, of course, they lost, but because they're worried about Tom's future. And when they win, they're so excited because not only have they won for themselves, not only have they won for this organization, but they've won for Tom.
Yeah.
And that is a message that you understand and you feel completely when you're in that locker room.
Right, right, 100%.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line three. Diego calling in from California. Diego, welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Diego.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Great.
Yourself?
Welcome.
What do you got?
I just want to say happy birthday to Steve Weatherford.
That's right. Today is his birthday.
Weatherford Wednesday. I mean, Twitter's going to be blowing up today, huh?
Yeah, it already is. Yeah,
it's my birthday as well today, too.
Excellent.
Happy. So what sign are you?
Is that Sagittarius?
Sagittarius.
Look at you, Sagittarius. You know signs?
A little bit. I know.
Put your man card right here.
I know. I'm a Libra, so it comes after Libra, I think. There's something in between there. And I know my wife's a
Capricorn. I knew you were a Libra. I knew it. You were such a Libra.
Is that good or bad?
Oh, jeez. All right, Diego, what you got for us? What's your question?
I wanted to know if the Giants are going to, take care of these last few games they got for the season.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your phone call. I do believe that the Giants have a difficult time in St. Louis. You know, their offense, nothing really to write home about. Sean Hill's the starting quarterback. I love this Stedman Bailey kid. I think he's really spectacular. Kenny Britt, you know what you get with him.
Yeah.
Jared Cook, you got to put a safety. You got to put somebody on him because he can burn you if you don't. So you got to pay attention to him. Defensively is what I'm worried about.
Quinn and the rookie from Pitt.
I'm worried about this defense getting after Eli Manning.
Yeah, and I talked about this, Jeff Fisher. These guys, they don't tackle, they hit people. I mean, that's – and I'm not going back in the past here on the Greg Williams history, but yeah, I played against those teams, and you were hurting 3 or 4 days later after playing those Tennessee Titans teams because they were physical. Now they're a little undisciplined in the secondary. I mentioned that earlier, but offensively, yeah, I mean Sean Hill, 13 years in the league, he's only started 32 games, and 6 of them have been this season. Not exactly a Pro Bowl guy, you know. I mean, that's what's out there, the quarterback position these days. I mean, you don't have a lot of – you got guys like Sean Hill, and you got these failed first-round picks, these Brady Quinn, you know, type of guys as backups. So I think
it's going to be a close game on Sunday. Hopefully the Giants can walk away with a win. And then against Philadelphia, I'd like to see the Giants play spoiler to Philadelphia, because if by chance Dallas loses to Indianapolis this week, and keep in mind DeMarco Murray
have a good chance of losing.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray had hand surgery on Monday. He had some broken metacarpals. Now, word out of Dallas is that he's going to be a game-time decision. Jerry Jones is saying everything that we would expect Jerry Jones to say, that he's expecting him to play. If he does not go, then you'll get a heavy dose of Joseph Randle. But nonetheless, if, in fact, Dallas loses, since they split, don't forget, Philadelphia won in Dallas on Turkey Day. So it might come down to that last game. And you've got Dallas playing Washington. I'm sure Washington would love to be the spoiler to the Cowboys. And, of course, you have Philadelphia playing the Giants. And I think it'd be great if the Giants played spoiler to Philadelphia. So if it does come down to the wire, I think it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I think so, 100%. And, you know, you look at this team. And the Rams, look, they beat Seattle. They beat Denver. I mean, they beat San Francisco this year. So they've beaten some good teams. They're a 6-8 team, and you know, they've had some tough losses in the past. And Jeff Fisher is trying to, you know, fight in that division and keep them relevant. And they want to be 500. A 500 season for them is a good season for the Rams going forward. So it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, the Giants have only won 2 road games this year. That's at Tennessee and then at Washington earlier in the season. So they haven't had a good road success, if you will, this season. So
you know, Dallas is 7-0 on the road this
year. I know, that's insane.
Isn't that
crazy?
That's insane. 201-939-4513, Roman Oban, Anita Marks. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're going to continue with the call, so keep them coming. Let's go to Steve calling in from Staten Island. Wants to talk about the Giants' future. Steve, welcome.
Hey, how are you, Anita? What's going on, Roman? How are you, dude?
Steve-o.
Okay, hey, listen, you know, there's a saying, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I don't think this Giants team, for the most part, especially offensively, really needs to be tinkered with it all. I mean, yeah, okay, I'd like to see the O-line short up a little bit. But other than that, you know what? Going into next year, how could you not be excited? I tell you right now, I think this team's going to light up the numbers next year offensively between Cruz and Beckham. And on the defensive side of the ball, you got Prince coming back. I love Kennard. You know what? A couple of little changes here. I don't think the Giants need to go out and spend all these gajillion dollars to bring in these players.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I like the old philosophy. You work with what you got and you build it up. And I'd like to know, what do you think about that? And thank you very much for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And again, I said this earlier, just a few minutes ago, that there's a lot of optimism in terms of next year and what you have to look forward to. They don't have to make a lot of wholesale changes. And again, it's but one thing about when you have a good team, I mean, look at the teams that are winning this year, Anita. Look, the teams that – Dallas, it was that running game. DeMarco Murray is the offensive line. You know, Denver, obviously it's Peyton Manning. Tom Brady up in New England. I mean, that defense is finally the defense equivalent to the ones they had in 03, 04. You know, they won the 2 Super Bowls back-to-back. I mean, they're really led by their defense this year. And obviously, Tom is still Tom. So, you know, you look at the teams that are winning, like they're led by a charge, but then everyone else is playing at a high level. So it's almost like starting this season, you would have thought the secondary was the strongest part of the team.
We talked about it
heading into the season,
felt that the Giants had arguably one of the top 5 secondaries in the NFL.
And then now you go into the offseason saying, okay, what do you do with Prince? He's up. Entrell Roll's up. I mean, you're going to pay someone, let someone else? I mean, so you've got some questions now, and then you have to say what position group, or maybe he I think he has to, Prince has to be, they have to exercise that option of his fit. Oh, they did? Okay, yeah, so he's fine. But, you know, what position group is going to really lead the charge? What's going to be, is it going to be the D-line? Are they going to get 50 sacks next year? Is it the defense, are they going to be stingy? Is it the offensive line finally going to gel with Rashad Jennings? I mean, Eli Manning played better than last. I mean, what? It's interesting to see like what's going to lead the charge to make that the Giants of 2015 an 12 win team next year.
Yeah, and keep in mind a guy that we really haven't brought up yet, and that's JPP. 2.5 sacks this past week, 9.5 on the season. He's had 6 sacks the last 3 games. Obviously, nowhere close to the 16.5 he had in 2011. But nonetheless, he needs to finish strong. I know he's dealing with a shoulder issue, but he is practicing today. But he needs to finish strong because, you know, he wants a long-term deal. He wants to make that money, and it'll be interesting to see what happens here with the Giants. Do they indeed keep him and pay him, or does another team come in with a lot more money? We'll see what happens. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy site, where it's like a new season every time you play. So make sure you hurry. Get free entry into the $100,000 football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. How about that? Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Funny story to share with you in regard to fantasy football really quick before we continue with our calls. So, you know, I played in 7 leagues this year.
Only?
Well, yeah, because usually I play in like 10 to 12.
Oh, I was just kidding.
No.
I thought 7 was a lot.
Usually I do, but because I had so much work this year, I was just like, I've got to taper back. So I did. I actually said no to some people. That's a big deal for me.
That's empowering.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. So I made it to the playoffs in 4 of my 7. Pretty good. Right?
Yeah.
So I was on that Johnny Manziel craze, Manziel mania. I thought he was going to blow it up against Cincinnati because Cincinnati's defense not good against the rush. Was not good against the rush. And that's something
He dropped the number 2 against us, Cincinnati.
So
I hate to say that, but that's...
I started him in all 4 of my playoff.
Oh.
All 4 people. Jeez. I started him in all 4 of my playoff matchups. Brace yourself. Are you ready for this? This is the big kicker here. I won 3 of the 4, still with a big fat 0 in my quarterback spot with Johnny Manziel. And who do I have to thank? He plays on this team.
Cruz. I mean, sorry, Odell Beckham.
That's right. Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr., to me, he has to be the fantasy football MVP of the season, especially the past 2 weeks. This week, he really helped people out. He helped me out, that's for sure. For me to advance and be in – this week is the championship. This week is fantasy football championship, week 16. They typically make it week 16 because week 17, you don't know if people are going to sit. But thank goodness for Odell Beckham Jr. He has saved my butt this fantasy football season. So you got to tip your hat to the young man. He's just unbelievable.
Well, you look at a receiver that – the receivers, let's say last year, let's say one of the better receivers in the league. I mean, those games like that 12 for 143 and 3 touchdowns, a great receiver may have 3 games like that for the whole season. Everything else is 5 catches for 80 yards, 6 catches for 90 yards, a touchdown, 2 touchdowns. I mean, you're not lighting it up every week like that, but he's lit it up like for about 6-7 straight weeks now.
Yeah, what does he need? He needs 28 more yards to have a 1,000-yard season. And if you remember last Wednesday, we were talking about like the time frame. Like I want to say what it was like 96, right? 96 and – or was it 86 and 92? We were talking about like the years that – the NFL has had like a really solid wide receiving core.
Yeah, the 96 receiving class. That was my class, yeah.
There was only one wide receiver that year that put up over 1,000 yards, and that was Terry Glenn.
Yeah.
That's it. So, just to give you an idea, this year you've got like 3 guys, 3 rookies. I mean, the wide receivers has taken over the NFL by storm. And Odell Beckham Jr., you can argue rookie of the year. You could say his numbers, his season, better than Kelvin Benjamin, better than Sammy Watkins, especially the past few weeks. So it's really been sensational, just to put that in perspective.
And obviously the rules, the offensive-friendly league that we live in now, I mean, is definitely different than the run-the-ball, Jerome Bettis, play-action pass, the dump. You know, I mean, that was a different era back then.
And also, keep in mind, he came from Cam Cameron, right? Cam Cameron, offensive coordinator with LSU. So now, you've got these wide receivers that are playing in pro-ready offenses in college.
Right.
You know, that's why I think the young man Cooper from Bama is going to be a complete stud next year,
yeah,
because of the system that Kiffin is playing with the Tide.
It's an NFL-type system.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dean in Connecticut. He wants to talk about special teams. Dean, welcome.
Roman, Nita, how are you doing today?
All right.
Excellent, Dean.
Just a quick thing I don't hear a lot of people talk about. I believe there is a time on the coach's staff that needs to go, and it's not Coughlin, it's Quinn. I mean, for years we've had subpar special teams. I can't remember the last time we actually ran one back for a touchdown. What, Dominic Hickson? I can't even remember. I believe that we shore up the O-line, shore up the D-line, maybe give a shot at Thurman to come back for another year to prove it. Francis picked up the option. Let's go with that secondary that we spent a lot of money on. Shore up the O-line, D-line, get Tom Quinn out of there, and I think we got a good shot.
Yeah, we appreciate your opinion here. I mean, you have a, and obviously also, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, Larry Izzo, who was a long time, he came out with me in my draft class. He was a long time great special teams player and backup linebacker for the Dolphins and the New England Patriots. Won a few Super Bowls in New England. He's the assistant special teams coach. So I know he's always up in the booth, and they're always trying to get the ship corrected in terms of special teams. Going back to Odell Beckham, I know a lot of Giants fans are saying, take him out of punt return for the rest of the season. You don't want to see him anymore in punt return, especially against this Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans. That's Jeff Fisher. I'm old school. Rams, this Rams team that is very, very physical, and you know, he had a fumble on punt return, kind of just didn't even go after the ball. I mean, that when you're having success offensively, you want to make sure you protect the ball at all times. So, but a lot of fans, Anita and Dean, if you're still there, have said,
yes, sir,
get Odell Beckham off of punt return. They don't want to see him getting split in half by some guy running downfield.
Absolutely. Well, you brought up Trindon Holliday. Now, did they sign him to a 1-year deal? Because I remember they put him on season-ending IR. But does he sign a multi-year deal or no?
No, I think he signed a 1-year deal, and he literally never got off the bicycle because the entire training camp he was riding a bike on the sidelines, doing rehab. So, and he was supposed to be the guy that was going to fix the return issues. I guarantee there would have been at least 2 or 3 returns to the house if Trindon Holliday was able to stay healthy. I mean, little guys like 5'7", 160, but he can flat out fly, and he just understands.
Yeah, but if you can't block for him,
yeah,
I mean,
I know.
You know, you can't put a hole in front of him, you can't run through it, correct?
Right, exactly.
Thank you for your call.
All right, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Got a quick little story I want to share with our listeners out there in regard to what a small world it is. Again, Roman and I were at the Christmas party on Monday, and we had a chance to hang out with Devon Kennard, who was there with his girlfriend, and so I struck up a conversation with her, a really fantastic young lady. And so she looks pretty athletic. So I said, so, you know, did you play sports in college? And she said, yeah. She says, I was recruited to run track at Tulane University. I said, did Heather Odell recruit you? And she said, of course she did.
That's so funny.
Devon Kennard's girlfriend was recruited by Odell Beckham's mother at Tulane to run track. Is that just
– Yeah.
Isn't that – I mean, it just goes to show you what a small world it is. Really, really fascinating. Anyway, I just thought it was really cool.
It's funny. And I think I told you the story. I threw shot and discus in college, and I remember going to an SEC meet, and everyone used to say how hot the 4x1 team – they were all Americans, and I remember Odell Beckham's mom being one of the, you know, this is like 1991. I think she was a senior by then, but it was, you know, when you throw the shot put or discus, like, you're done early, so you just get to watch the field event. So I always had a front row seat to watch the girls 100, 200,
right.
4x1. So I was like a track, female track groupie.
That's awesome.
Back in college, so, but it's pretty cool.
I ran the 200. I did the triple jump.
Yeah.
And then when I started playing football, I'd read a story that Terry Bradshaw used to go out and throw the javelin to build his arm strength and his technique to throw a football. And apparently, if I read the article correctly, he almost represented the United States in the Olympics with the javelin. So I went out to try to learn how to throw that. That thing is hard to throw. So, but I went out and I learned how to throw it, and sure enough, it helped me with my passes.
Yeah, and you know, I went to Fork Union Military Academy And the javelin record holder, who was like an All-American in high school, 216 feet, was Vinny Testaverde.
Exactly.
So in terms of that,
yep,
all that, that from that deltoid and that same motion, and whether it's baseball pitcher, I mean, that's I'm not surprised every freaking high school quarterback wasn't a javelin thrower. I mean, every single NFL quarterback wasn't a javelin thrower in high school.
And just talking about the Olympics, of course, hopefully, again, David Wilson trying to represent the United States in the triple jump this coming summer in the Olympics. And so all of us here at the Giants are really wishing him well and really hoping that happens. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ann from Virginia. Ann, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Roman and Anita. How are you?
Good afternoon, Ann.
Great.
And I'm a traditionalist, so I'll say also Merry Christmas.
Merry Thank Christmas. You. And Happy you. New Year.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so I have a question. And my two questions are, you all know I have an issue with Tom Coughlin, and my biggest issue with him, and I want you all to address this. The Giants could have won a few more games, if only they had some divine runs for Eli Manning when they were down inside the 10 and the 5. And I've seen it in a couple of games. I saw what John Gruden even pointed out. I forgot. I think it was against the Cowboys, where he could have ran it in. And that's my problem with Coughlin. He pampers the quarterback too much, and I believe in today's NFL, you also, the quarterback just can't stand up back there and throw the ball. He has to move around and run. And I will say I do like Johnny Manziel. I love Manziel. Let me just say this much. Yeah. But my question to you, Anita, or Roman, either one of you can answer is, how long, Tom Coughlin will be 70 years old next year. How long will he coach? Because I know he's his contract runs through 2015. And is it dependent on how well Eli Manning does? Because Manning's contract is up next year.
Is that
and,
true?
I think Eli will be 34. But my question is, will there be any chance that we'll look at Marcus Mariota in the draft? And how long will Tom, is Tom Coughlin tied to Eli Manning? Because if Eli doesn't perform well, does that mean that Coughlin will be back or Manning will be back? I just need that question answered, and I'll get off the line. Thank you.
And, again, thank you for your call, and, again, happy holidays to you and your family. First and foremost, I had the pleasure of meeting Marcus Mariota on Sunday after he won the Heisman Trophy. What a really nice, humble young man. I mean, he just gets it. You know.
Yeah.
You've been around guys, you know, who play the sport. You know, he just gets it. And so whoever does draft Marcus Mariota, I'm hearing comparisons from the analysts and the scouts to Ben Roethlisberger, a Russell Wilson with size, and just really just down-to-earth, humble, nice young man. Really was impressed meeting him on Sunday, first and foremost. Number two, I really don't look at the Eli Manning, Tom Coughlin connection in regard to what happens to either one of them.
Right.
I will say this, though. I don't know. There's very few quarterbacks in the NFL that will play with just 1 year left on their deal.
Yeah.
You know, you had Joe Flacco do that. And
he gambled and he won.
And he took a gamble and he won. And he won a Super Bowl. He won an MVP for the Baltimore Ravens. And then now he's one of those, you know, $19, $20, $20.1 million quarterbacks in the NFL. Not very many quarterbacks are willing to do that, so it is going to be interesting to see what happens with Eli's contract moving forward. But no, I don't look at, well, if Tom goes, Eli goes. I don't see the two combined.
Yeah, and then she also asked if the Giants would draft Mariota. First of all, he won't. I think he'll be gone in the top five picks. I don't think the Giants would draft him as a first rounder. And then secondly, the big runs in the red zone. And it's funny, and when we watch the games, and I always sit with Amani Toomer or Sean O'Hara, we watch the games together to get ready for postgame. The irony is that this team has been in a lot of first and goal from the 9. You know, first and goal on the 11-yard line, first and 10 on the 11. I mean, so it's – defenses get shrank down, they get tighter. You've seen a lot of fades, a lot of passes, a lot of slants, and it's – some of that is circumstantial in terms of, you know, what the defense is giving you. You can't just say, "Oh, we need to run the ball more in the red zone instead of throwing the ball all the time." I mean, a lot of it's a chess match. A lot of it's circumstance. A lot of it's what the defense has been giving you thus far. We've seen runs. We've seen draws work. We've seen where fades tried 3-4 times and didn't work, and then the one time it finally did. So, but we have seen a lot of that first and goal from the 9 or the 8, and that's like those are the most dangerous downs in football because now you got to score. Like you have to score, and then you get 5-6 yards. Okay, now it's third and goal from the 3, and then you got to, you know, so then you end up kicking a field goal. But a lot of it has to do with circumstance, and I think most offenses would rather run the ball than throw it anyway because then now you're dictating when you can throw the ball because you're having success on the ground.
But also, I mean, she's saying that she's kind of disappointed in the play calling because Eli Manning isn't running, especially in the red zone. But another thing is, like, you have to look at your quarterback and you have to look at his style and what accentuates his game and his performance. And
yeah.
Eli's just not a scrambling quarterback.
No, he's not going to roll out the pocket and make a guy miss it and dive into the pylon. I don't see Eli Manning ever doing that.
It's just not him. And when an organization has allotted X amount of money to their quarterback and that position, you know, they don't want to risk it.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely,
you know?
Right.
So 201-939-4513. Let's go to Derek calling in from Atlanta. Derek, welcome. You're on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, hi guys. How's it going today?
Derek.
I got a couple of comments and a question about Tom Coughlin. Comment is on the move I think we should do in the draft and free agency. I like a couple of guys, K.J. Wright, linebacker. I think Torrey Smith. I think we don't need really a stud. I think we need a stabilizing wide receiver that could catch about 75 passes and just be there and still be able to take the top off the field. That's why I like Torrey Smith. I think we ought to go out and get like a free agent tackle, right tackle, and then maybe draft one in the second round of the draft. the other comment I had was that win this weekend, but manage your roster. You know, manage the roster appropriate to what your season is. You know, don't play Eli to the last 10 seconds of the game if it's not unnecessary. You know, let players play. And the question I have about Tom Coughlin is that even if he shows up next year and coach, do you let him play on that one-year deal or do you assign him to an extension? Okay, thank you.
I just want to comment really quick on the Torrey Smith. I like that call. I covered Torrey Smith when he went to the Baltimore Ravens. And if there's one thing that I mean, think about a Torrey Smith, a Victor Cruz, and an Odell Beckham Jr. You've got a Torrey Smith who's a burner who could really stretch the field,
right.
And you've got to keep those safeties and those DBs honest and play back. Look at all that landscape,
right.
All that Victor and Odell Beckham Jr. have to work with. Wow, I like that call a lot. I'd love to see Torrey Smith come here.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great talent, and it always goes back to the – you know, I was speaking to just Tim McDonald, who works in the scouting department, and he's part of the Merritt family, and I've known him since he was a kid. He was talking about just trying to find the right players and looking at free agents, and every team does it. Not like, oh, we're going to replace this guy. It's just every team, you know, looks at free agency, and, you know, asked him about a few guys, and he said, well, it's always about the right price. You know, you may want a guy from another team or want to keep a guy, but you every team has a where they value that player numerically. And whether that's $2.5 million, $3 million, some, but a team will pay him $5 million, well, good luck with the next team because we valued you at this position. So
the going rate for a, and you and I have had this conversation before, the number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like an Antonio Brown, the going rate is about $12 million a year. Now, I don't, even though Torrey Smith is looked at, viewed at as the Ravens' number one, I don't look at Torrey Smith as a number one per se in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he would love to get that $10 to $12 million a year, but I don't think teams are going to come knocking for that amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, look at what happened 2 years ago when Wes Welker left New England Patriots. He wanted a certain amount. He wanted $8 million a year. He ended up going to Denver for $6 million, and the Patriots probably valued him at about maybe $4.5 million, maybe $4 million, and then he said, no, heck no, I'm not going to play for that. So, you know, sometimes players and sometimes guys get their feelings hurt. Their agents saying, this is what I think I'm worth, but then this is what the market dictates, or this is what the market, the going rate is for a player at any position. And then once you get past that first, second week of free agency, those first 10 days when all those big names are signed, and you're still out there, you may not be worth that $5, $6 million, whatever that number is that you think. You might be worth $2 million. You might be, you know, and I don't like to talk numbers as much because we're throwing these, I don't want to throw these numbers around loosely like we're talking about a bowl of cereal. Oh, $2, $3 million, $5 million. No, it's a lot of money. I mean, and playing the NFL is an honor and a privilege, but it's always based on a few things. Where that team values you financially. What's your realistic, you know, what's your realistic depiction of like what your value is worth? And that's where the agent comes in. And then what's the market? Like, what does the market dictate? So it's, and out of those three things, you're only going to hit about two out of three. And if you hit all three, then you're like Al Wallace, or you're going to Miami receiver, or you're one of these guys that signed a big deal. But one guy I'm interested in seeing is like a guy like Ndamukong Suh. I mean, he's going to be one of those first, second day of free agency. He's going to be gone. Somebody's going to give him a $100 million deal. I think he's going to be measured up against kind of what J.J. Watt got last year. But he got that from his own team. Free agency is different. I mean, you saw what happened with the Albert Haynesworth signing of the Redskins a few years ago. That didn't work out. He didn't want to play a 3-4. He just refused. I think he quit. I mean, he's not even playing football anymore. So you want to make sure guys get paid what they're worth, and then their seasons, their careers actually continue to get better. Because when you leave that team that drafts you, Anita, it's work now. It's a job. You're a big time free agent. One year, 2 years later, you're a salary cap casualty. I mean, I went through that myself, so I know full well that whole process.
All right, let's continue with our calls again with you till 1 o'clock, so we're on for another good 15 minutes here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Roman Oben, and players are practicing right now as we're hosting the show. And no Rashad Jennings today, dealing with an ankle issue. No Jamail McClain, dealing with a knee issue. That's where it stands right now. Let's go to Keith, calling in from Massachusetts. Keith, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I've been a longtime Giant fan, and I've been through a lot of years where we didn't have a franchise quarterback, and you know, a lot of accolades are going to Odell right now for all the yards he's racking up. But you know, people aren't in the media aren't really talking about how Eli is the one throwing him the ball and looking off people and getting him open with his eyes and putting the ball right where he needs it, and just not enough appreciation for Eli. I feel like, you know, and look what he can do when you give him like dynamic players to throw the ball to, and you know, give him another one and see what happens. And the second thing is Victor Cruz, his injury, is that a guarantee he's going to be able to come back like 100% from that, the patellar tear? Because I know everybody's counting on the 1-2 punch of Odell and Victor next year, but is he going to be able to be 100%, do you think? That's it, I guess.
Well, you know, it's interesting because of and thank you for the phone call. Because of where the tear it was a torn tendon. Mm-hmm. So I don't know very many, if any, wide receivers with a case study that have come back from a torn tendon. I don't know. So, you know, I can't say. But what I can tell you is that we've seen him walking around the facility. He's off crutches. He's working hard. If you know anything about Victor Cruz, you know, he loves this game. He loves this organization.
Yeah, he's a class A individual.
And he's working as hard as he can to get back on the football field. And really, I don't think anyone knows. Only time can tell heading into OTAs and next season in regard to, you know, is he going to have the same speed, the same burst? Is he going to be able to get the same separation? We don't know until he's 100% healthy and we see him in games. That's the truth.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, and I'm not I've had enough injuries to know the difference. I think tendons connect muscles to bones, and then ligaments connect bones to bones. So ACL ligaments, those are connecting that femur to that tib, or to certain ligaments. Ligaments are obviously have to be repaired, and sometimes you pull a ligament from another part of your body or a cadaver, but tendons. That muscle-to-bone connection, it's pretty severe. But, again, when you get injured, that next year you come back is when your body's physically going through the changes of what you were able to do before you got injured. And then year two, your body's adjusted and made changes, and then you go from there. I mean, I spoke to Monty Toomer. I mean, we played together, same draft class. I mean, he had two partial ACL tears, And that was pretty difficult to come back from. But, you know, he said his body just had to learn how to adjust. And he eventually did okay, ended up running a marathon after his career was over. So the quality of life is okay. But, again, one thing we know for certain, not so much the outcome, but that Victor Cruz is going to work as hard as possible to regain the form that he was, not only this season, but, you know, that 2011 season. I mean, that's the benchmark. That's the Victor Cruz that he wants to be.
And don't think for a second, I mean, for Victor Cruz to sit back and kind of watch the season that Odell Beckham Jr. is having, yeah. I'm sure he's excited for the young man and excited for what he's producing, but also I'm sure there's got to be a sense of, man, I just want to be out there. Like, you know what I mean?
When you're watching someone else get your shine.
Yeah.
I mean, that receiver position is very competitive as a whole. I mean, I played in Tampa with, you know, Keenan McCardell and Keyshawn Johnson, and they both wanted to outdo each other every week.
He's a coach for somebody right now. I saw him on somebody's sideline the other day.
Keenan McCardell?
Yeah.
I think Houston or somebody.
Somewhere.
I know he lives down there. but you talk about the upside. You talk about these receiver tandems. You know, Julio Jones, Roddy White. I mean, how awesome would it be for the Giants to have that type of a tandem where you don't know who's going to be hot every week, and then that opens up everything, running game, tight ends. I mean, everything opens up when you have that type of tandem. So we wish Victor Cruz the best of luck, and we know that he's working hard to get back in 2015.
Ben on Twitter again. Hit us up on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat, says Giants have both a 1 and a 2 wide receiver on this team. Torrey Smith would play the third. It wouldn't be worth the money. So a Giants fan who would rather not have Torrey Smith.
Yeah, it's funny, Nita. Every third guy wants to be number one. And wants that number one money because the guy who – it's always funny with receivers. The guy who catches 40, 50 balls for 800 yards, man, if I was the number one guy, if they threw me the ball more, I'd have 80 catches for 1,300 yards and, I don't know, 10 touchdowns. But sometimes – I mean, look at Mario Manningham. I mean, he left here, went to San Francisco, got injured, was in training camp this year, and he just was never regained his form.
He had that microfracture
surgery.
Yeah,
never regained his form.
It's very hard. It's very difficult for professional athletes to come back from that microfracture. Only very few can do it.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of second, third receivers, you know, go to another team and just automatically become a number one guy. I mean, it's a guy, and I'll just speak this real quickly, a guy who's a very good friend of mine is Jericho Cotri. And, you know, he's a blue-collar guy, kind of one of those do-whatever-you-told guy. I mean, he's always been a second or third guy. Even when he was at the Jets, he was – but a guy like that, you understand who you are in your career. I mean, he just scored his first touchdown last week, Jericho Cotri. But, again, I think we all, as pro athletes, we all get to a place where we all know our roles and we all know who we are. And then that's pretty much typically after you've gotten the big contract, after you've gotten that first wave of free agency, and now it's year 7, 8. You're kind of saying, okay, this is who I am, and let me just be a professional now and continue to get better and help my team win whatever way that's needed.
Again, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where it's like a new season every time you play. So hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy contest this weekend where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE. To play for free, DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. This site's going to blow up after week 16 because, as I said, this is fantasy football championship week for most people. So then they really start jonesing come week 17 and then, of course, through the playoffs. So these sites –
You
these
can't
sites
do fantasy in the playoffs, right? Is that true?
I do fantasy.
Because there's only like a certain amount of teams left.
But it's a different kind of fantasy. What you do is, and it's actually quite fun, what you do, you got to get 6 people as opposed to 8. Typically, any fantasy football league has 12 people. So you get 6 people instead of 12 people. I'm boring you. You're just yawning. Okay. You get 6 people instead of 12 people, and this is what you do. You draft 2 quarterbacks, 5 wide receivers, 4 running backs, 2 tight ends, 2 defenses, and 2 kickers. Yeah, you follow me here? And what happens is they accumulate. So it's not like you have a different draft each week. This is the guy you pick, and you accumulate points throughout the playoffs. So what's advantageous, what you want to do, is you want to pick a quarterback from one of the wild card teams because you're going to get an extra game. You're going to get another game of points.
What if they get bounced?
then that player is out. Then you're getting no more points from that player. So not only are you trying to draft players that are going to put up points for you, you're trying to draft players who you think are going to play more than one or two games. So there's an added strategy there. But anyway, my whole point is DraftKings is going to blow up come week 17 and, of course, through the playoffs, because people who are really big into fantasy, like myself, typically the season's over after this week.
Yeah.
Let's talk about real playoffs for a quick second. Is that cool?
Yep.
AFC, New England, they've already clinched. They're still trying to clinch that home field advantage so that the Super Bowl and the AFC goes through Foxborough. But the Bills still keeping alive. By the way, I called the Bills upset on Green Bay this past week. Thank you. The Bills and the Dolphins, believe it or not, are still alive. I think really the Dolphins are done. But I kind of like the I like underdog. I like Cinderella stories. I like the fact that the Bills
what's
are winning.
Like the first?
The Bills defense and Kyle Orton at quarterback. What? I mean, that's crazy.
So like right now, what's the if the playoffs started right now, what would do you have that look like? Who would be the first?
New England, Cincinnati, the Colts, Denver, and here, actually, let me call it up just to make sure. I don't want to misspeak. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I will call it up right now. But did you watch that Bills?
Yeah.
Did you watch that Bills Green Bay game?
Yeah.
And the previous week, same thing they did to Peyton Manning. All right. So here we go. If the season was to end today in the AFC, it would be New England, Denver, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. How about that? Three AFC North. If the season ended today, three AFC North teams would make it to the playoffs.
And all those teams have 9 wins.
Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. That's insane. That's crazy town. Kansas City still alive. San Diego still alive. As I said, Buffalo still alive. Houston, Miami, and Cleveland, they're all 7-7. I don't know. But right now, Cincinnati, AFC North is in the driver's seat, my friend. Eliminated the Jets, Tennessee, Jacksonville, and Oakland. Now, in the NFC, Arizona has clinched already. Detroit, Dallas, New Orleans, Seattle, and Green Bay. Still alive is Philadelphia, Carolina, and Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and obviously, the Giants, in addition to the 49ers, and a few other teams, St. Louis, who's eliminated. So, and then you got to look at the draft. Some of those teams are eliminated. You got to look at, in terms of draft. I mean, you've got Tennessee, Jacksonville, Oakland, all with 2 wins. So those are probably the first 3 picks. I'm sorry, Tampa Bay also. That's the first 4 picks. Then that next tier, I hate to use that term tier. You got the Jets, Washington at 3 wins, and then the Giants. Chicago at 5 wins, and then you've got Minnesota, St. Louis at 6-8, and then San Francisco at 7-7. So right now the Giants are still in that, 7-9, probably closer to the 9th pick right now. I don't know but again, if you win, you get down to the 10th pick. And let's answer a question. Like I think sometimes the fans, when they were calling a few weeks back, in this notion of why don't you lose out or so you can get a higher pick. I mean, getting a 10th or a 9th pick overall is not exactly like getting a 7th round pick. I mean, you're still getting quality in the middle of the first round, even the end of the first round. I mean, you're still getting quality people. So, and then sometimes you don't want to be in that top 5 because you're going to have to draft a quarterback high or Winston or Mariota, whoever. I mean, some of those guys that may not really necessarily fit your needs, but they're so high rated that you just can't pass up on them, and that's why.
Well, in looking,
it's dangerous. Some of these teams that have been bad for a long time, they keep having these high draft picks, but they're still not winning.
In looking at the teams that are eliminated, that very well could get a top 5 draft pick, that are in need of a quarterback, Tennessee and the Jets. In regard to the AFC, I mean, Jacksonville, they went after Blake Bortles. Oakland, they went after Derek Carr.
And they're happy with those guys.
Yeah, and that's their future. So Tennessee, the Jets, in the NFC, Tampa Bay, they went out. They brought in Josh McCown. They brought him over from Chicago. Washington, big question marks there in regard to what's going to happen with RG3 and his future. Chicago, big question marks about Jay Cutler. I mean, the offensive coordinator came out and said that the Chicago Bears are second-guessing the contract and the money that they gave up Jay Cutler. Jeez.
Which was like 4 years ago, right?
And what about St. Louis? Let me tell you something. St. Louis needs a quarterback. I know earlier this week Jeff Fisher came out and said that he'd like to get Sam Bradford back, but how many times are you going to go to that well and hope that your quarterback's going to stay healthy? I don't know.
Yeah.
So very well, you know, the Jameis Winstons and the Marcus Mariotas and the other quarterbacks that are really – I love Trayvon Boykin from TCU. I love that kid. I don't know if he'll go in the first round. He might drop to the second, but I love watching him play. But Tennessee, the Jets, and St. Louis, those are three teams that are going to have very high draft picks that very well are in need of a quarterback.
Yep.
Anyway, hey, it's been a fun day with you. Thank you so much for participating with us here at Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, stay tuned to Giants.com. Players, as soon as the practice is over, will be made available to the media, and all their interviews will be up on Giants.com. Tomorrow, this man with the big bicep, Roman Omid, will be back in studio with Paul Dottino. So please make sure you tune in tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Got the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What are we getting?